Wow, that's wonderful. I mean, you're so orderly. I didn't even have to tell you to sit down. That's wonderful. First of all, good morning to each of you. I bring you greetings from the Ebenezer Baptist Church. And as was stated, I feel at home. I am not a stranger here. We have shared an intimate partnership now for, I guess, over 12 years. Going back to 2007 and the relationship which was established with Reverend Leslie and David Takahashi Morris, for those of you that were there back at that time. We have done a lot of things together, and I think we can all agree now that a lot has changed since August 12, 2017. For those of you that have consummate memories, it was actually about 4 months after that, in November, that I stood here before you, and we were 4 years fresh of that global event, and we were still, many of us, making sense of the tragedy, what happened, and how that has impacted and changed Charlottesville. We're 2 years into it now, and I think we still have questions, and we still don't have answers. And so one of the wonderful things today is that, again, I don't come to you as a stranger, because many of us, we were already involved in this type of work long before there was an August 12th. We were out in the streets. We were sharing with our neighbor. We were trying to make the world a better place in our own individual and collective way. And so on today, I want to, for those of you that did not read the little preface in the website, I'm going to speak this morning from the subject, Show Me Your ID. The backdrop of this particular message, again, because I am a Christian pastor and because I use this Christian scriptures as my foundation, I want to use this morning the story, a very familiar one, of the Good Samaritan. Many of you who are have a Christian background and experience, it is one of the most favorite stories. And again, under the backdrop of what we are experiencing right now in 2019, I want to start off with my own personal testimony. Before I came to Charlottesville and before I began pastoring, I worked as a project manager and as a senior consultant for the State Department. And what we were tasked to do was we were tasked to upgrade the computer systems of all the embassies and consulates all around the world. And so this was over 20 years ago. It gave me an opportunity to visit places that I've always wanted to visit, to meet people that I've never met before, to experience cultures and experiences that I probably would never have experienced had I been here stateside most of my life. And as you know, we all have a hobby. And one of my hobbies was to collect and treasure all of the IDs that were made for me, because as you know, working for the government, working in the State Department, having a certain clearance requires you to have an ID. And so I brought a couple of the IDs with me. And it took me on a nostalgic tour because, again, as I shared with you, this was occurring back in the 90s. And so I'm looking at these IDs. I'm looking at my picture. I'm noticing that my hair is a whole lot grayer. I'm noticing that I don't wear these glasses anymore. I noticed that back then I had a beard and a goatee, which I don't have now. And I'm comparing those IDs with the present ID that I have, which constitutes my Virginia driver's license. What I've learned simply is this, and this is what I want to share with you today, is that in life, our IDs change. Our IDs change because we change. The things that I had passion for back in the 90s, I find that I have a different passion now. The priorities that I had back in the 90s, I have different priorities now. In other words, my ID has changed. I like to think that it has changed for the better. Life and experiences, challenges, storms, tribulations, and trials have taught me many things about the world and certainly a lot about myself. And so I'd like to think that my ID, even though it has changed, it has improved. Think of where you were 20 years ago. Think of what you were doing 20 years ago. Think of the passions that you had and the priorities that you had 20 years ago. Do you have those same priorities and passions today? I would probably say not, because the world has changed and you and I have changed. And so today, this is an encouragement. The title of this presentation today, again, is Show Me Your ID. Now, don't show me what your past ID is, but show me what your present ID is. As you're going through a pastoral transition, I've been in ministry over 32 years, pastoring over 13. Transitional pastoral ministry is a wonderful opportunity for you to, again, reevaluate and reaffirm your identification. Secondly, to do an investigation of where you are, of why you are, of how you are, and of when you are. And then thirdly, it gives you an opportunity to do an inventory. And that inventory is constituted in what you are. You, Thomas Jefferson, specifically, and the Universalist denomination collectively, you are a very powerful, vocal, and active group. And when I looked on your national website and noticed the fact that collectively, again, these are your figures, you have over 1,028 churches nationwide. You have over 160,000 active participants in your organization. There are 26 of your congregations here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the largest being in Arlington, Fairfax, and Richmond. And you, Thomas Jefferson, you are the only Unitarian Universalist congregation within probably a 40-mile radius, the closest, of course, being the one in Waynesboro. I have been blessed to have partnered with you for these last 12 years, and I remember that in those 12 years, we tackled and confronted a lot of subjects. We partnered on a lot of initiatives. And one of the things that I wanted to do to show you that my ID has changed is to share something that I understand is happening right now within your congregation, and that is the subject, again, of your name. Those of you that were present many years ago, I think I was part of that conversation where the subject was whether or not we should change the name of this congregation from Thomas Jefferson to something else. And I remember the argument that I gave. The argument for me was one where while you see an obstacle, I see an opportunity. And I felt that at that time, that your name distinguished you from the 1,027 other Unitarian Universalist congregations because of Charlottesville's history, because of its rich history. I thought it gave you a unique platform, a platform that could resonate not only within your denomination, but outside of your denomination. And so I remember saying to you that if I were you, I would not change it, but explore it. Use the obstacle as an opportunity to engage in a higher level of dialogue so that we can begin addressing and making right the wrongs of our past. Well, that was in 2008, 9, and 10. We're now in 2019. And so the question is, Pastor Bates, do you have the same opinion? I probably don't now. Why? Because a lot has changed. Back then, Charlottesville was not a global brand. Charlottesville is now a global brand. Charlottesville now is in the pantheon of cities such as Waco and Sandy Hook and Columbine. And thank God our blessed president keeps us on page one with his continuing rhetoric. And I may have said this before, and I'll say this again. I love our president. I really don't have any problems with our president, and the reason is because he gives me job security. With that said, I would now be willing to entertain the notion of you moving to a new era now, because we're in new times now. And those times now give us opportunities and options. Now maybe we can explore this rich history called Charlottesville, now Charlottesville with it having the attention that it has. We are an organization, but guess what? Every organization is a business. And every business needs some type of marketing that will draw, that will bring attention to things. And so I'm not trying to make your congregation a business, but just from a marketing standpoint alone, the prospect of moving or considering another name certainly has validity. If you decide to do that, my hope is that when you do that, don't forget your past. Memorize, memorialize your past. Remember, it was your past that brought you to your present, and it is your present that's going to determine your future. And so, again, I have to realize that as my ID has changed, I think we can all agree today that all of our IDs have changed in the last 20 years. The world has compelled us to change. Our personal situations have compelled us to change. And so it should not be depressing. It should not be a sad juncture in your evolution in life to realize that there are some things in life that must change. That's the identification. Secondly, it's the investigation. The investigation of who you, Thomas Jefferson Unitarian Universalist Church, wants to be. You have had many speakers, you have had many pastors, especially in my 13-year tenure here, and most of the messages and most of the presentations and reflections that you have had or have received, I know they've been encouraging. I know they have been ones that's caused you to think. I know they've caused you to challenge yourselves individually as well as collectively. And so I'm not going to bore you with another cheerleading type of message, because I think we all realize that if there's going to be change anywhere, the change has to start with us. And so the investigation is that you just have to decide, you, Thomas Jefferson, has to decide where you want to be, when you want to be it, why you want to be it, and how you want to be it. In the Christian text and in the story that I referred to earlier, which is the story of the Good Samaritan, again, many of you remember the story that have a Christian background. It is the story of a man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he falls among thieves. The thieves rob him, strip him of his clothes, beat him until he is half dead. The Bible says that while he is in the trench, three men walk by. One was a priest, the other was a Levite, and the third was a Samaritan. The record says that when the priest walked by, the priest looked on him, and he went the other way. The Levite came to him, looked down on him, saw him, and he also did the same. With the first two men that looked upon the man, it was the crossroads. It is the conflict and the contradiction that we all face when we realize sometimes that what we are is not necessarily who we are. For those of you that don't know me, you have heard that I'm a pastor. You may have seen me do certain works in the community, but you don't know who I am, so you are determining who I am by what I am. But how many of you know it takes conflict and a pattern of personal conduct that determines whether what you are is really who you are? I'm ever aware as a pastor, because I'm a pastor, I am looked at a certain way. I'm looked at to have some measure of integrity, to be honest and to be reliable and to be dependable, all of those things that should be befitting of a man of faith. And yet, because I'm in this flesh, I have my quirks, I have my ups and downs, I have my idiosyncratic peculiarities like all of us living this life. My hope is that my faults don't overwhelm what I am. And it's not just me. It's each and every one of us. Because right now, as you're sitting here today, you may or may not know the person next to you. And so the only thing you know about the person is the fact that, okay, well, they're here with me. And so that lets me know that your presence is the fact that you are aware that there is something greater, or that you have some type of faith foundation, or you are looking for something. And so that's the commonality that you share, but you don't know the person. In other words, you don't know whether or not the person's what is in harmony with their who. And my friends, that is really the journey of life. The journey of life is us being able to reconcile our what with our who. And so my hope is that you're joining with me on this journey, realizing that we all fall, but we get back up again. We all make mistakes, but we endeavor to try to correct those mistakes and resolve those mistakes. On tomorrow, I'm going to be meeting with the strategic leadership at UVA. We're going to be talking about the design and the beginning of an equity institute. Several million dollars have been earmarked for that purpose, and they have asked the black preacher to sit with this group and to give a perspective that is uniquely mine. I realize that I'm blessed to be in the position I'm in. I realize that the black church is a very unique organism in the universe, because the black church, as the black preacher, my people feed me, my people clothe me, my people put a roof over my head, and it gives me the freedom to challenge injustice and to challenge the power structures without being any type of repercussions from that very structure, because I don't answer to the structure. And as a result of that, I have a responsibility to speak truth and to speak liberation for everyone, because you have a secret, Thomas Jefferson, that a lot of other faith traditions don't have, is the fact that while we are dealing with this on a race platform, this is not about race. It's about humanity. It is about the ability to look at the next person and value them in the same manner as you value yourself. And if you remember in this particular parable, the parable was Jesus's response to a question that was given him. And that question was, Jesus, who is my neighbor? And if there is anyone who understands the profundity of that, it's you. It's you by your deeds. It's you by your vision and belief and your ideals and your hopes. And I hope that you never lose that. And so I hope that you're joining with me as we continue that journey. And so again, recognizing me in the position that I hold, and the voice that I have to give, that means I have to go to places I don't want to go. I have to meet people that I don't want to know. But it gives me an opportunity to display a power that I must show. And the power is not within me, but is He who orders my steps. And so we have the identification. We have the investigation. You deciding from this point on, what do you want to be? Where do you want to be it? When do you want to be it? How do you want to be it? And why do you want to be it? And then finally, as I come to a close of this presentation today, I also want to encourage you by also not just taking an ID of yourself, not just doing an investigation of yourself, but also taking inventory of who you are. Right now, as I'm looking at each and every one of you, because each and every one of us has a gift, a resource. Each and every one of us, regardless of what your bank account says, each and every one of you are rich. You have something to offer. You have an abundance that you can offer to someone else. And I don't need to list. You're intelligent enough to know what I mean when I say that, because some of you are rich in your smile, and rich in your attitude, rich in your personality. This is not about material abundance, but it's what God has given you to share with someone else. And the only thing that He asked of us is to share what he has given you with someone else. And so this provides a wonderful opportunity to take inventory of who you are and what it is you want to do to make a difference in this world today. Keep in mind, when you are doing what you're doing, you're not doing it alone. And one of the challenges that a lot of the faith communities are having right now, especially those that you don't hear about, but are doing the work that we all should be doing, because most religion is not about heart work, it's about head work. But many of you who are religious historians, you know about the Amish, you know about the Mennonites, you know about the Bruderhofs, you know about many faith communities who practice what they preach. And they do it in a form which is called community. The problem is that as they're doing it, they do it in an insular fashion. Really, no one else knows what they're doing and how they're doing it. But there are lessons that probably we could learn from them. And right now, there are some of those congregations, because I've spoken with the pastors, they are grappling right now with the prospect of coming out of the closet and making available to the world. They want to introduce themselves and their faith and their community to the world. And many of you, you may have passed by their churches, you may have seen their signs, but you really didn't know much about them, what they did, and what gifts they had. Well, they have a gift for heart ministry, because they understand heart ministry is intense. It involves relationship. It takes time. And that's a far cry from the religion that's being practiced today, because the religion that we practice today is microwave religion. It's all surface. It's a one and done. It's a feel good. It's one of those booster shots that you get so that you can say that I'm not racist, or you can say that I'm not this and I'm not that, and then we go back and do what we've been doing all the time. And so, my friends, again, the challenge and the encouragement for us today is this. Show me your ID. Recognize the fact that your past ID is not your present ID. Be grateful the fact that you are not what you used to be. You're not what you could be, but if you're on the right road and in the right direction, you will get to your destination. Also recognize that this is a wonderful opportunity, even in your transition, to investigate what it is you want to do and want to be, where you want to do it, how and why you want to do it. And then take inventory. Be blessed of the fact that as we look at all of these tragedies, weather tragedies and violence that's happening all over the world, that's happening now on a daily basis. And one of the things that I fear about Charlottesville is that Charlottesville still, in a lot of ways, is in a bubble. We're still not experiencing a lot of the things that are happening in our larger cities, but don't think that's not going to occur. Things are going to get worse and worse. We see that happening in our families, in our communities, everywhere that we go. And so when it knocks on our door, what will we do? My hope is that you will show your ID. My hope is that you will show to people that you're more than just what you are, that who you are is in harmony with what you are. And if you can do all those things, you and I will make a difference. God bless you. Thank you so much.